This is the Ico.
The project in itself, the visual aspect, the musical aspect, everything about it has just completely changed me as a person. And I'm just so grateful to have found it, to be honest.
That's Allie Rowe. We talked with her at length about her dedication to Odessa and Foreign Family Collective, and we will share all of our conversation from her later on in this episode number 2 of the Ico.
Hi, I'm Clayton.
And I'm Kent.
We are your gracious hosts of this fun little program we put together for you guys.
And we do really want to thank everybody for tuning in to the first episode and for sharing that on various social platforms and letting us know what you liked and offering suggestions on what we could cover in future episodes. So very, very appreciative of everybody taking the opportunity and the time to listen to our random rants.
And of course, thank you for your patience as we sift through all this content that literally feels like it's fell into our lap, which is very exciting for us.
Yeah, 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 for sure. Tons of great ideas. So we'll be disseminating that and featuring as much stuff as we can in each episode. But we do want to kick things off covering some of the latest Odessa news that's popped up mostly in the Facebook group. We're kind of keeping an eye on what everybody is chatting about, and we've got just a couple updates to share for you, and then we're going to share the entire conversation with Allie, and then we've got some foreign family news for you as well. So that is the agenda for this episode of the Ico. And just before we get to that news update, I do just want to remind everybody that you can find us on all the podcast platforms. That's Spotify or Apple or Google, wherever you get your podcast, or you can just visit the website, and it's theicopod.com.
So to get started, first of all, this came at a very personal note as buyers of the deluxe edition box set that's coming.
Indeed.
It's supposed to come mid-October, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, it was a late October arrival date.
As some of you may have seen, you may have got an email saying that there was a slight delay in the shipping of that, probably looking to get it in mid-November at this point.
Yeah.
Which is a little unsettling or a little unhappy, but it's going to be great, and that's really all that matters. So just be patient, as we all are, and it's going to be amazing when it gets to us, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we actually both ordered one, naturally, back in July. So we'll be doing a little unboxing special when that actually does arrive. But I think the notification essentially said, you know, there were some quality issues and they want to make sure they get it right, which makes sense after some production issues with some of the merch at the finale. So it looks like maybe there's a bit of an issue with some of the vendors for said merchandise. So I'm glad that they are taking the time to make sure it's done right instead of just rushing it through.
Absolutely. And then on the other end, just a little quick thing. A while ago, I noticed that somebody had posted what may be an unreleased secret track from the soundtrack of the movie X-Men Dark Phoenix. We went through investigative report. We dug up the audio from that film. What we're leading into right now is in the very early end, all the X-Men teenager characters are going to like this bonfire party where the mutant known as Dazzler is singing a song, which is actually the voice of Banks, pop star Banks. And so it just kind of comes in at the middle of this movie, and we get this little ditty coming up pretty soon.
Turn all the lights out, taking me higher. Let your hands on, put your hands on me.
So yeah, that was the little intro preview, secret preview to the song Hands on Me. In the credits of the movie, it actually lists written by Harrison Mills, Clayton Knight, and Rye Cumming, performed by Banks. And as of right now, Banks has not said anything about it. The boys have obviously not said anything about it. So be on the lookout for release of that song.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a tiny little illusion of a song. So it's fascinating. And like you said, when we were chatting about this earlier, they haven't released the soundtrack or anything.
The only soundtrack they've put out for this movie is the original score, and not like songs that were featured.
Yeah,
in the
like
film.
Like the more poppy or radio playable tracks. But I mean, you always wonder what the guys are going to do next. And one of our, I think we even mentioned in the first episode, is, you know, maybe scoring a movie. And this is a fun possible intro into that. Other stuff happening in the Facebook group. I've noticed a lot of people posting some gorgeous artwork over the last couple of days and weeks. Just some fun iterations of the logo in their own particular take, and also postcards that are starting to land in people's mailbox.
That's right, with little inspirational quotes on it, it seems.
Yeah, so, and I think I saw somebody else sending out stickers just, you know, to random folks. So it just kind of shows the amazing community that has already built itself around Odessa and Foreign Family Collective. One of the other things we talked about at length in the first episode was the Bootleg Loyal t-shirt that is now sort of arriving in people's mailboxes, and they're doing some photo shoots with those, which also someone from Foreign Family apparently has the shirt because it showed up on their Instagram profile.
It's an amazing looking shirt. Amazing piece of art. Very clean, very well done.
Yeah, but we want to give credit to Andrew Yu, who actually sketched that out, and then Allie sort of touched base with Andrew and said, hey, maybe we should, or, you know, have you ever thought about making a shirt of this? We just wanted to give props to Andrew for actually making that first step.
Thank you, Andrew.
So that's what we've got new in the world of Odessa. We will take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to hear our entire conversation with Allie Rowe. We'll be back.
My name's Allie Rowe. I'm 26. I'm from Texas. You know, in 2014, I actually was at Lights All Night in Dallas. And sure enough, Odessa was performing. They were a very sub-headliner. I want to say Zedd and Skrillex were the main, you know, attractions of that two-day encounter. But I was sitting down with my friends and I just met them, you know, kind of mingling about. And I kid you not, you know, Odessa's music came on. And I asked my friends who were sitting next to me, hey, who is this? You know, who's playing? And I couldn't really hear them. So they typed it actually on my iPhone's notes. And they typed Odessa. And I was like, how do you pronounce that? And so she showed me how to pronounce it. And she was like, yeah, they're really popular on SoundCloud. They're kind of just starting up. They're really, you know, they're going to be really good. And that's just kind of how it started. And that was in 2014. I believe it was like December 27th. And I mean, since then, I mean, I kid you not, I listened to Say My Name and Sun Models, which were the only two songs that in 2014, my phone could download in a small amount of time. I listened to them on the flight home on repeat over and over, and just completely fell in love. And the project in itself, the visual aspect, the musical aspect, everything about it has just completely changed me as a person. And I'm just so grateful to have found it, to be honest.
So interestingly, the live show was your first experience, as opposed to you know, falling in love with the recorded music and then getting the chance to see him live. That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of funny. I actually was in Forever 21 and Shazammed one of their songs, maybe 2.5 weeks. It was Say My Name. And that was, you know, off the charts. I don't know. I saw it live and it was just an immersive experience. It was great. It was encapsulating, to be honest. The music itself is so beautiful and it's amazing, right? But then when you put it with that visual and immersive aspect, I think that it kind of, it rounds itself into full circle.
So what was the next step for you from that first realization or discovery moment?
So basically just having them on repeat forever, kind of discovering who they were, where they're from, their background, you know, who they were inspired by, because this was a type of music where, like I said, it was Zedd and it was Skrillex. During that 2014, 2015 era, you didn't hear much of this type of sound. So I kind of delved deep into finding out who inspired Odessa, right? And so I found out about a lot of other, you know, similar people and everything. But the next step, I think, was 2015. I saw them in El Paso at, I think it was called like Sun City.
Oh, yeah. So one of the festivals.
Yeah. That was like the second one. And then after that, so funny story, I was leaving. I was, you know, leaving the Odessa set, walking away because my boyfriend and I wanted to escape parking.
Sure.
And that was the first time they dropped Loyal, but it was the early version of Loyal. And I'm not kidding. We were in the parking lot and ran back listening to Loyal build up. So, nice. So that was kind of where that was at. So, yeah.
So since, that first show and that second show, how many times would you say you've actually seen them live at this point?
At this point, I think it's like maybe 18, maybe 20.
Okay.
That's incredible.
All right. So what are some of the other highlights out of that, 18 shows?
You know, I'd say the first time I met them and got to thank them for what they do, I battled with an eating disorder for about 5 to 6 years. And, Red Rocks 2017, I was able to meet them face to face. And that was right when I started my recovery of my eating disorder. And I was actually able to give them my 30-day chip, which, was very meaningful. And that was the first time I got to meet them face to face. You know, I mean, I've developed such, I wouldn't say a friendship, but I mean, it's like they know who I am. They know that I really care about the project and everything. And especially the Odessa family. Like, I feel kind of like the mama bear of that. Like, I would say definitely giving them the 38 chip and all that. And then I would say Sundara, seeing them again and just seeing how far they have come in 5 years was a very beautiful moment for me.
Sure.
There's a sense of pride, I think, that we all get from watching that transformation over these years, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, let's talk more about Sundara. So what was your experience like there?
So it started out with, again, in my notes pad of my iPhone, right? And they announced a big announcement, right? I was guessing the Gorge. I was guessing where it was going to be, and it was just this big secret. And then it was decided, or, you know, announced that it was going to be in, you know, Mexico and all this stuff. And I wasn't really sure I was going to go. And, you know, I know you mentioned in your intro episode that you weren't sure either,
right,
and everything, right? And you went back and forth, but I knew deep down that I had to go.
Yeah.
And it was just going to be one of those things where it might be the only one and I have to go.
Yep.
So I found a way. I went and I met so many other people. And, you know, you touched on this last episode, but the experience was so special because everyone was there for the same reason. Mm. Everyone was there. It was just this collective audience. It's almost kind of reflective of their record label, right? Foreign Family. So it's all of these foreign families, so to speak. You know, you mentioned that you roomed with people you didn't even know.
Yeah,
you didn't met, right? So it's kind of like, you know, the foreign families connecting through just their music, and everyone's there for the music. That was just so special. I treat it as though I'm not even sure it happened because it was such a great time.
Yeah.
But totally. Yeah, it was, if you were there, it's beyond words. So.
Yeah. I think, you know, everybody's still asking the question of if it's going to happen again. And then of course we would all love it too, but I not looking good for 2020 from what everyone's speculating.
Oh no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that Harrison and Clayton and the team and just everybody needs a break. I mean, that AMA tour, you know, that was a global tour for a long time. You know, I think at the most they had maybe 4 days off. So I've made friends with some guys on the crew and things like that. And it was very tiresome. So they deserve a huge long break. I don't have any inside, like, you know, knowledge, but I would say that Sundara 2020 is not going to happen, but, you know, you never know. They could pull something out of their sleeve.
Right. So what do you think is next for the guys? What is your prediction of the next couple of years?
I think that definitely they're focused on their other projects with Foreign Family Collective. I think they're really focused on Ford. You know, Casbo has had his, you know, he mentioned on Twitter, you know, his hearing impairment, but that kind of thing. And I think that they want to take a break, but I think it's in their nature to focus on music and focus on the future. But also, I think that they might be on their side, you know, game creating and things like that. But I think they deserve a very long nap. I don't think that we can expect anything for a while, but I would say maybe a year and a half, maybe for another record. But I do believe that they're very focused on getting everybody else set up to release. You know, Jai Wolf is at his peak. You know, he just did ACL. He was so good. And I think that right now they're focused on the label and just kind of taking a breather from their initial project.
Yep. Yep. You're probably right. I think that's a pretty good speculation.
I feel they've earned it, definitely.
Oh, yeah. I told them, I was just like, please nap at the finale. I did this little map project. I'm not sure if you guys know, but I did this map project and got to speak with them for a little while. And I was like, please take a nap. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the gifts or mementos that you were able to put together for them.
Yeah. I think one of my non-double digit shows, I went to Seattle for the 3-day run and I had put together this scrapbook. And the scrapbook basically was comprised of people's handwritten notes that I had printed as photos. They would just send them through my email and I would obviously just print them as photos and then insert them. And a lot of it was very personal, and I had committed to the Odessa family, you know, I'm not going to read these because people go through things, you know, and it's not my secret to unbear or my story to hear. It's for them. So I printed off these letters, these notes, these pictures of people at different events. And that was the first, I would say, not gift, but to an extent, I guess, a gift. And I gave that to them in Seattle, and that was in March of 2018, and they were blown away. Yeah. That was a really special moment. And people ask me, you know, why did I do it? And if I were someone who was producing and just giving something out, that kind of was scary almost, because think about it, you know, they're artists, they're kind of bearing their soul, right? And if people respond to it and people are changed by it, I would feel compelled to create more and be just at a more positive light if I received good feedback from it. And I know the community is so strong. So yeah, I put together this scrapbook and I gave it to them in Seattle. And then at the finale, I actually teamed up with a graphic designer from New York. His name is Anish Bara. And then Bobby Shackleton, he actually does map design for Bloomberg, which is in, I mean, obviously New York. And we put together this map that was crowdsourced. So we let everyone input through like a Google Drive map, whatever,
forum.
And they put their name and their location. So for every Odessa family member that inputted their info through the forum, we plotted, or rather Bobby plotted a dot for them. So Mark McLouie, who actually is Odessa's manager, got in contact with me. Not really sure how he got my contact info. Mm. He got in contact with me via email. He's great. I met him in like 2016, I think, or 2017. But anyway, he contacted me and said, there's anything I can do to get you, you know, giving anything to the guys, let me know. I'm here to help. So Anish and Bobby basically crowdsourced this information. I was kind of just the social media publicist, if you want to say, about it. And so we had over, I want to say, almost 800 entries. And it was on all of the continents of the world. So Odessa has reached the fan source and the fan base on every single continent. And I think that just speaks volumes, because in March, whenever I gave them the scrapbook, there were 3,700 people Adoptive Family, and I think there's 10K plus now. So
it's such an incredible virtual space for people to express that. And I don't think I discovered it until right before Sundara, because I was trying to find people to roommate with. So you've certainly been there a lot longer than I have.
I'm pretty active in the group, and I posted, you know, hey guys, it's the ending of AMA. Let's go ahead and do something nice for them. And the response was explosive. And I mean, for Odessa's management to reach out to me and say, hey, you know, heard you have a, you know, something up your sleeve, I think that also speaks volumes. You know, we have some spies in the fam, but, you know, I mean, good for us though. Like the main thing I think is that if there are people who are seeing the day-to-day interaction, you know, they're not on tour anymore. And if there are people seeing the day-to-day action, and postings and all this, that's keeping Odessa and the name and Foreign Family and everything about the record label alive, right? Yeah. So I think that speaks volumes, and I'm just really proud of the community that has been built, and it's grown tremendously. I mean, like I said, I think I joined in 2017. I think the group was started in 2015. So it's grown this huge community. And I think that's so beautiful. And it's so positive too. I mean, you can go through and sift through posts, and it's absolutely astonishing, the support and like, hey, oh, you're new to this area, let me team up with you. Let me, you know, pick you up. Let's go see, you know, this Foreign Family or even not Foreign Family artist. I think it's such a great platform, and I'm really proud to be part of it.
Yeah. And it sounds like you were also kind of a part in the loyal t-shirt development as well.
So that's a funny story. Yeah. So the loyal shirts, I mean, y'all, I have bought, and I say y'all because I'm from Texas. Love you know, it. I'm a Southern.
Hey, we get it. All right.
The loyal shirt, I actually almost purchased at the pop-up, but decided not to. I got some other things. And then I got an email from management saying, hey, you know, Allie, like, we know you're really active. I mean, I've been around. It's been 5 years. So, you know, everybody knows I'm a big fan. And they realized that there was a problem with the shirts. And I was just asked to make an announcement. And that's basically what I did. And I think everyone's really happy with the result, because their merch is so great and so high quality. I mean, they think about it. Harrison went to graphic design school, right? Mm-hmm. So he's on the high end of everything. He doesn't want anyone to have anything that's, you know, graphically not great. And Clay too, like, it's their brand. It's what we wear on the street to, you know, give credit to them. And so I was just asked by management to do a little post inside of the fam. And that's totally, I'm so here for that. I'm here to support the name and the brand and everything. I wouldn't even say brand. I think that's weird to say brand.
Sure. And then were you the one that made the suggestion about about Andrew's design?
So the bootleg.
Yeah. Shirt,
yeah. So Andrew, I think whenever I made the post from management, Andrew's just the dad of the Odessa family, right? There's 10,000 people in there, but we call him dad. And he's just, you know, I think he's like 42. He's a senior IT executive at Pandora. He's just, you know, his wife is a veterinarian. They live out in East Bay, California. Like, they're great. But yeah, Andrew drew up this fake loyal shirt, right? And he posted it in a comment. And I private messaged him, you know, beyond the group. And I was like, hey, would you ever think of making shirts? And he said, I was actually thinking about doing so. And then we decided to, I mean, I didn't want to collect any proceeds from it. I wanted it to be a family shirt, you know, that kind of thing. And so we crowdsourced again through the 10,000 members and was like, hey, you know, who do we want to donate the proceeds to? How do we feel about this shirt? We had a very, very explosive response and decided to make shirts. And Jai Wolf actually bought some, I think.
All right. Yeah. I saw that.
Reed from Beat Connection bought one. I don't want to say because I'm not sure, but I think that, you know, Harrison Clayton might have one. It was it was a cool little thing. So I'm really happy with how that turned out. And we actually are still collecting donations to NAMI, which is National Association of Mental Health. And so I really push that. I bought like 3 shirts. So.
yeah. Let's talk about merch. What is your collection look like these days?
Well, I'm a poster gal. So I just, you can see through the Facebook, I have probably every single poster. I didn't go to 2018 Red Rocks, so I don't have that one, but I have one for every year that they have been in my life. And that, I mean, it's just like a personal preference, but then I also have the Eclipse Moon, which is a very high regarded, memento now. It's this, crew neck sweatshirt, and it has like the Eclipse, and then it has the Odessa on it, like underneath in their font. I have shirts, but mostly I would say I'm proud of the posters that I have. A lot of Victor Mosqueda, if I'm being honest, I'm so inspired by his work. I think he was their actual first signed graphic designers, and he was amazing. I actually got to meet him during the finale. And his passion towards the project and creating for them is just immense. And I'm just really glad I got to meet him and thank him face to face. So
aside from Odessa, what are you listening to maybe in the foreign family world these days?
I like Kasbo. I'm not really sure how to pronounce it. I mean, a lot of people at Sandara. So at Sandara, you kind of find out how people pronounce everything. And so I heard somebody say Kasbo, and I was dumbfounded a little. I was like, isn't it Kasbo? You know, thinking I'm in the wrong. And they're like, oh, you might be right. Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we go round and round on this.
Allie, this is every day of our lives.
Yeah. Right. Just trying to figure out how to pronounce everything.
Yeah. I really like, there's a song, it's called This Song Is About You, or This Song Is Written About You, something along the lines of that. And by Jai Wolf, and that song, it is completely instrumental. And I think it has some vocal chops in it, but the gravity of that song, just with no words, the gravity of what it encapsulates is it speaks volumes. Like, that song left a mark on me. That's one that sticks out for me. You know, I'm a big Rufus Du Sol fan, so about it. I also, it's not necessarily in FFC, but Bonobo, like, I'm a huge Bonobo fan. Actually, Harrison worked on some percussion for Bonobo. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, I think that's how we'd say it.
Bonobo.
Yeah. Bonobo, right? Okay, so we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Harrison worked some percussion for a track on his album that came out, I believe, a year ago. So I think that Birds of a Feather flock together, to be honest, and that foreign family sound, even if they're not paired with it like Bonobo, they all kind of have that same way of grasping the audience's attention and emotion. And I think that just speaks volumes beyond anything, to be honest. So,
well, if you don't have anything else in particular to add, I guess my last thought or question is, if someone were approaching you and asking, what is this whole Odessa thing about and why are you so into it? Should I go see one of their shows or buy one of their albums? What's your response to that question?
I would say it changed my life in such a huge way. I mean, first of all, there's the community, right? The friends, the fans. I mean, it's every single continent, like that map. It just shows there's a diehard person that goes balls to the wall for Odessa on every single continent, right? So there's the community first. But also, Odessa brings something that you can't even describe in words. There's the music, and then there's that immersive experience where you're watching it and you can't really explain it to someone who hasn't seen it, but it's just, if you want to be changed, go see an Odessa set. That's the best way I can explain it. The visual aspect, I mean, the Tanaka brothers, Sean Kusanagi, everyone who's on the lighting team, it's such an immersive experience. And I don't think that you receive that quality besides the Odessa Project or Foreign Family. I mean, I'm very passionate because it changed my life personally through my eating disorder, things like that. It helped me get up on my bad days. And it's just such a beautiful artistic project, and it's beyond audibility. It's visual as well. So that's basically my encapsulation of Odessa.
Again, thank you so much to Allie for joining us on the show as our first guest.
And we have many opportunities already presented to us for other folks that want to share their story. But please let us know if you would also like to add your name to that list. There's a couple of different ways that you can share your thoughts and stories with us. That can either be in written form, in a comment on a post in one of the Facebook groups or Reddit or whatever it may be. Or you can email us as well, which I think I said the first time. It sounds like such a archaic thing to say, almost. Send me an email, but you can do that. It's hello@theicopod.com, and we'll figure out a way to get your voice heard, whether it's a call or us sharing your written thoughts.
Either way, but we'll be right back after this. We're going to talk about some Foreign Family news after this living tune.
The Chet Porter remix of Odessa's Line of Sight, which I have to imagine isn't the first time you're hearing that remix.
Probably not.
And Chet is making the news as of late. He just put out a brand new track for the first time in several years called The Longest Day Ever. And he's been doing quite a bit of press about the song, talking about, you know, why he took the hiatus and what's up next for him. And it's fascinating. There was a Billboard article where he talks about just his process of creation, and that essentially it took him 4 hours, only 4 hours. That's tough for me to imagine, because I feel like it takes us longer than that to talk about the song, but to actually produce that. But you know, he talks about how that's just, you know, kind of a gold star in a creative process that's certainly not always like that. You know, it's like you've got days where you think, I can do this, I'm actually pulling it off. And then you've got 45 days where, you know, it's like, I'm terrible. Why am I even trying to do this? And that's something that, I don't know, speaks to my own personal struggle with a lot of creative processes, where you feel like you have everything figured out and things are chugging along, and then the opposite of that.
And then you just are tired, need a break.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that speaks to the struggle that many, many artists go through, and our culture and society demands that go, go, go. We need more money, more content, more everything. And that's just not what I feel like humans are meant to do and be. And I think we're starting to see that reality kind of come out in a lot of different genres, music wide, I guess I would say, but particularly in the dance music community, I think we're finally starting to talk about it and have conversations around mental health and just the well-being of the folks that we kind of put a lot of pressure on.
Yeah, I'd say more so than any other genre, dance music is really, really good about artists just standing up and saying, listen, I'm very burnt out. I need a break. I love you guys. Thank you for support, but I'm going to go away for a bit and I'll be back.
Yeah. And I mean, Chet was kind of chugging along in 2016 and had a huge hit known as Stay, which I think you'll probably recognize if you give it a listen. And I think he was on the Odessa tour, and agent at one point said, you're really on a great track now, you know, like, don't mess this up. And I think that was, you know, just some kind of unnecessary pressure that was put upon him based on what he said in this interview. And that's just an unfortunate reality. Just put
the grind.
Yeah. We just put forth these expectations, and sometimes just even comments like that can totally scare people away. And you can just have a total diversion from your path. path. But anyway, also a little tidbit that came up earlier in the year was that Chet had ghost produced a track that he says made it to radio, but I don't think we ever figured out what that was.
Yeah, he said he's a humble dude. He didn't want to brag, and so he didn't actually name the song. And ever since then, people have been trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
and to this day, we still don't exactly know.
There's been a lot of speculation, but he just says it made it to radio and became an actual hit, but nobody knows it. LOL.
LOL.
So. Yeah, I don't know. I guess if maybe someday we'll find out. But that's fascinating to me because unlike the X-Men clip that we were talking about at the beginning of the show, where that was actually in the credits, mm-hmm. they were named there. It isn't in this case.
Right, right.
Yes. I wonder how they get around that. I don't know what the process is. Like, if you agree before you take the gig, like, I'm going to ghost produce this track for you and I'm going to get no recognition.
That's got to be it.
Whatsoever. Unless you're doing it under like a pseudonym or something.
Sure.
Because I feel like there was something that's how people were trying to figure out Marshmello's identity.
Right.
Back in the day is like, you know, let's dig into these song credits and figure out who's listed there. I'm sure that we will see more and more from him in the upcoming weeks and months. In other Foreign Family Collective news, we've got a couple of bits to share with you. And Evan Gia was at Sundara and also appeared visually in the Mimba video put out. But she just released a track under Astralworks, which is Universal Music Group, Capitol Records. So not on Foreign Family, but the track itself is called Encore. And it was produced by Kilogram and Mimba. So obviously still has Foreign Family ties, and she'll always be, you know, considered a part of Foreign Family Collective. I think a lot of people were asking, you know, does this mean she's not and she's gone a different path or whatever? But, you know, artists release tracks under multiple record labels all the time, depending on their deal. And so oftentimes it's based on the sound of the particular track. And it's like saying this has a better feel for this particular label. Mm-hmm. We see this a lot in artists that are, you know, producing dubstep and house or whatever, and so they find the right label to release particular tracks on. It used to be more so like they would use alternate names.
That's what I was kind of led to believe for a while as well.
Yeah, like I remember an interview I did with Ferry Corsten many years ago, and he just started rattling off like all these different AKAs that he had based on the, you know, whatever sound he was going after for a particular track. But I think we've become more, I don't know if lenient is the right word, but open to different types of sounds from the same artist. So that's what's new in Evan World, and a couple of other Foreign Family notes for you.
Yeah. So earlier in September, Duskus, an artist, was added to the Foreign Family. And actually just at the middle of the month, he released a song called I Can Change Your Mind. It's a luscious yet subtle soundscape that captures Duskus's affinity for meshing influences from his experience, as well as an artist pop duo named My La. Song's called Maybe, and that's our Foreign Family news update.
Yeah, and of course you can find these tracks on all the major streaming platforms if you'd like to give them a full listen. So that kind of wraps it up for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, and don't forget to subscribe so you get notifications on the next episode. And just a reminder that we do want to hear from all of you in whatever form that is, whether you're wanting to share a story or you just have some ideas on what we might be able to cover in future episodes. You can do that by leaving comments on the actual website post, that's theicopod.com, or on one of the Facebook posts, or you can email us at hello@theicopod.com.
Yeah, at the end, it sounds like snail mail after the comments and everything, but yeah. Anyways, I'm Clayton.
I'm Kent.
And this is The Ico. We'll catch you next time.